supporting WHYY Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at pennmedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
If life is a carnival, that life will get underway in around 25 minutes from now. Let's synchronize our clocks on SkyTalk with Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. Derek, take us to the carnival.
Philadelphia Science Festival always winds up with a wonderful carnival that's happening today down on the parkway at 20th Street right around the Franklin Institute. There will be so many hands-on activities and demonstrations about every kind of science, it will make your head swim, from astronomy to geology to mathematics to all sorts of things that will allow you to get your hands deep into science. Even if you thought you really didn't like science, this is a wonderful opportunity to expose you. And everything, of course, is free. So if you want to come out for a really great ending to the Philadelphia Science Festival, this is a great opportunity. You can do that today.
Where will your hands be digging around?
Well, I'll actually be out on the parkway with a series of telescopes, hopefully looking at the sun through filters on our telescopes that may help us to identify some activity on the surface of the sun. I'm hoping there will be some sunspots. Maybe there'll be some flares and prominences. But at the very least, we'll give people an opportunity to see what our star looks like up close and in person. You'll find we have a number of telescopes out along the parkway and throughout the event.
See you there. Derek, I don't know what constitutes a whole lot, but apparently there was at least some shaking going on recently on the red planet.
Yes, it's very interesting that we found that Mars actually does have Mars quakes. Now, we've learned this because the most recent lander to drop down on the surface, the InSight lander, has actually settled a seismometer, a device that will sense seismic tremors like earthquakes on the surface of Mars, and it has already picked up what it thinks actually was a Mars quake. Now, the quakes on Mars, we would like them to be somewhat similar to what quakes are like on Earth, but Mars really doesn't have that much tectonic activity still happening. So, for example, there's no continental drift happening where plates are moving across the surface because of the upwelling of hot mantle material beneath the crust on Mars. The interior of Mars has now gone pretty much volcanically and seismically dormant or inactive, and so the interior of the planet is still cooling. But because it's cooling, that means it's contracting, and that means there's still cracks and creaks and things like that, little tremors that happen on the surface. This first tremor was felt just a couple of weeks ago, and it only lasted about 40 seconds in length. Now, that's not really a long enough time to be able to tell us a tremendous amount about the interior structure and function of Mars, but it at least tells us that, A, there are quakes that can be felt, and B, the instrumentation we're using is working. So for the next number of years, this device will be trying to feel out what's happening inside Mars.
Meanwhile, we're getting new information about what happened around Mexico some 65 million years ago.
You know, everybody knows about this idea of an enormous meteor that came crashing down to Earth 65 million years ago that was responsible for the demise of the dinosaurs as we think of it, you know, the death of the dinosaurs at that time. And while we have been able to generally fix when that happened by looking at the rock record, it wasn't 30 years ago that we were able to identify a layer of material all around the planet at a specific point in the rock record of a material called iridium. And this iridium is something that's commonly found in meteors that come crashing down to the surface of the Earth. But this one was big enough and the explosion was large enough that it distributed iridium dust all over the world. Recently, though, a paleontologist from the University of Kansas at Lawrence, Robert DePalma, has been digging around an area in North Dakota where he's identified a 1.3 meter thick, that's about 5 foot thick layer of fossil deposits, where he's been able to identify little glass spherules called tektites that typically are the result of the impact of a large meteor on the surface of the Earth that then creates these little balls of glass that get thrown up into the atmosphere and then blown around to different locations. Here's the catch, though. He's found them at a location that's 3,000 kilometers away from where the impact happened. He feels like he's been able to identify the very day of the impact. And, you know, in science, you would say if you have a remarkable claim, you really need remarkable evidence. Some of his colleagues agree that his identification of the sequence of what's happened and what he's seen as the evidence could be plausible evidence of exactly that description. But some other skeptics are thinking that perhaps there are a number of other ways in which the same kind of phenomenon could have been created. And this is all complicated by the fact that De Palma is being extraordinarily restrictive about who gets to investigate this particular location, who gets to look at the fossils that he pulls out of this, and how much scrutiny they have over the work that he's doing. But I think it's a really interesting prospect to be able to have identified the exact day in which that impact occurred.
So for now, we'll just have to take it with a grain of tektites.
Yes, and read more about it as this story emerges.
Derek, with clear skies, what's available to be seen overhead this week?
Believe it or not, in the western sky after sunset, still Mars is hanging on, looking a little smaller and a little dimmer, but still identifiable. But at midnight, Jupiter, the largest planet of the solar system, is well above the eastern horizon. And if you happen to be up early in the morning in that 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock hour, you'll not only see Jupiter over in the southwest, but back toward the south, to the left of Jupiter, you'll see Saturn. And way over on the eastern horizon at 5, you'll still see brilliant Venus low on the horizon.
Thanks, Derek.
My pleasure, Dave.
Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. He joins us each week at this time on Sky Talk.